C-168. Number 4B.
So, at that point, you see, we can see that he was actually investigating the textbook, not as a consecutive statement, but what he did at that time and what we all did at that time was actually selective reading and selective analysis. Namely, we were constantly only concentrating ourselves to understand those 15 root notions, those capitalized terms. These capitalized terms naturally stand for the pith of the science of oneness. They constitute, so to say, the fundamental divine factors or elements. I don't know how I could say it, the 15 fundamental pillars of the science of being. And so we were constantly searching the textbook by just going to these capitalized terms, and therefore you can see that this was not yet really the final analysis of the textbook. Still, the reasoning that went on at that point was going a step further. So at that point, you see, Dorley had, so to say, three categories. He never called them, as far as I know, the three main categories. He just could see there are the seven, and then we have the four sides, and then we have the three, at that time, the three levels. But he could see, because they were spiritual facts, they must blend somehow. And how can I see what is the interrelationship when three categories blend with each other? That was a very difficult question. As long as he had seen only the seven and the four, you see, the seven and the four, he could really easily show the relationship of the four and the seven, because when one has two main categories, one can always present the interrelationship of two categories in a matrix. That's why he called this chart here a matrix, because it is the interrelationship, really, of two categories. But when he had a third category, that was difficult, because even in other sciences, they can hardly show a matrix with three categories. They always have only a category with two indices, but not with three. Mathematically and with a computer, you can do it. But for the illustration to our limited concept and presentation, it's hardly possible. So he thought something out. And that is what we have now, what we call the chart. It looks like this. It is also in the study aid. You have it on page 63. You make a note for yourself. In the study aid here, on page 63, you have the chart, which is actually trying, in a very concise way, three categories. Namely, that chart is shown first as the levels of science, and I must always say at that point, John Dorley had three levels of science: Christian science, absolute Christian science, divine science. So he showed that as a level symbolization. The second category of the four sides of the Holy City was vertically, namely that he said through those three levels go vertically the Word, and then Christ and Christianity, which would be two indices already. That could be regarded then as also as a matrix, but then he put into each box or at a point of intersection where the levels were crossing then the horizontals of the four, he was putting in synonymous terms, the third, another category. So he had the level category, he had the fourfold category of the calculus, and third, the category of the nature of God. And so he tried out to see how he could, with synonymous terms, indicate what each point of intersection really meant. And that was, so to say, the climax of his teaching, of his fundamental theoretical teaching. I perhaps must put it that way, except that then in his last year, spring 1949, when he was teaching these levels, that he suddenly said, yes, we arise from the level of Christian Science to the level of absolute Christian Science, explaining what it meant, to the level of divine science, what it meant. And then suddenly he thought, and then we can even go still higher to a fourth level and introduce the fourth level as science itself. So actually, this presentation that you have here from Dorley is not complete, because that has been printed before that time. And he forgot to change it and put in the highest level of science itself, which we then have done in our chart or in the study aid. But actually, it is his presentation, not ours. Yes. So, at that point, he really, so to say, had the full presentation of the system underlying Christian Science. He brought this out then also in a book called The Pure Science of Christian Science, which contains his fundamental teaching on these categories. But very short, just pinpointing really out these categories. As I said, this was selective analysis of the textbook. Selective because he would only take, so to say, constantly the capitalized term and make those the object of investigation and of analysis. But there was a whole text there, the whole text of the textbook. And there was also a whole text as the Bible there. And because Mrs. Eddy knew that there is a science of the Bible, John Dorley began to be interested, really, in that science of the Bible. The development is going over about 10, 12 years in his life, because he began to investigate, as I already said, the question, is really this science that he sees in the textbook also the science of the Bible? Does the Bible substantiate his findings? Because he always felt that what is in the textbook must be substantiated by the Bible, that the Bible was so fundamentally a revelation of God that the Bible could not reveal another science than it was revealed to Mrs. Eddy. He believed that the science came from the same source of revelation as Mrs. Eddy's source of revelation, from the same divine principle, but that the language was different because there were 3,000 years in between since the first documents, the Jerovistic document was written. It was already 3,000 years ago. So they had to write in a language that was adapted to their age, whereas Mrs. Eddy was writing to in a language that was adapted to our age. So he felt if we can decode the symbolism of the Bible and translate the symbolism of the Bible into metaphysical ideas of metaphysical ideas back into the capitalized terms, that we should find in the Bible the proof of what he has seen in the textbook. So, right at the beginning, as I said, in 1939, he was already giving a whole class association with the association of his class for a whole day, presenting really those thousand-year periods, showing that fundamentally through the Bible runs the same word order: first thousand-year mind, second thousand-year spirit, third thousand-year soul, then principle, then with the New Testament life, and extrapolating it, we could say that the 6,000-year is symbolizing truth, and that now we approach really the 7,000-year period, which we already feel now that it has a lot to do with love, with the universal plan, with universality, with motherhood, with womanhood, and so that he could find in the long, in an extensive way through the Bible, first, so to say, a proof for the word order. But that was not enough. Already at the beginning of the World War II, he was interested in St. John's Revelation, because in St. John's Revelation he could see the Holy City. So he was feeling that the Revelator, John, had already somehow touched the four, and so he was investigating the revelation of St. John, and was seeing there that in that revelation there is a lot there that substantiated his findings. He could see the structure of that book on Revelation, that it was following first on the standpoint of the Word and the Christ, bringing in Christianity, and then in the end science. He could see that many parts of that revelation would follow definite orders, that the messages to the churches was following the Christ order. Then afterwards all that was happening as the trumpets and the seals and the trumpets and so on, were all the 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, and they all were could be decoded either in the world order or the Christ order or Christianity order, until finally when the revelation comes to the city four square, he could decode there also the 4 by 4. So that was right at the beginning of World War II, and so the Bible began to become alive to him as a symbolization of what he has found as a system. Then actually he had his interest then shifted again, as I have shown, to the question of the matrix, of the four orders, and the chart, and so on. But when war was over, he gave then many lectures on the revelation of St. John, trying to introduce to the field, really, that new paradigm that we can read the Bible as a system of ideas, and not as telling one verse after the other verse and showing nice stories, historical stories, or then just nice sayings, aphorisms, and things like that. But he introduced and said, look here, only if you take alone the revelation of St. John, that from beginning to end you can see a perfect structure that takes in the 7 and the 4 and the 4. But then somehow that didn't quite satisfy him, and he came at that time in 1946 to Zurich and gave there a week's lecture on the Bible, on the whole of the Bible. He made the first attempt then to present the whole Bible as an ordered story. And when he left, he felt that he had only scratched the surface, and that actually he should give more time to that Bible and investigate that Bible more deeply. So he went back then to London, and in the fall he began to take the Bible from beginning to end, so to say. He gave those weekly talks on the Bible. There were alone 99 talks, weekly talks on the Old Testament. He gave the summer school all on the Bible. So his whole focus at the end of his life was mostly geared towards the Bible, decoding one book after the other in the Bible and showing, look here, what we have found as a system in the textbook is actually the system that is underlying the Bible, only in other terms. Instead of having, therefore, terms like the capitalized terms, they just had symbols for them, big symbols, various symbols. They could naturally symbolize mind, not just as one symbol that would cover the whole tone of mind, but symbols that would cover ideas symbolizing mind, like power, like action, like law, like guidance, like light, like intelligence. That could be symbolized. So that was a terrific way to something completely new, namely to see that we can read the Bible only then when that what he had found in the textbook as a capitalized term, if we have the tonality of those terms and not the words. Because in the Bible, those 15 root notions do not appear. Only the symbolization of the ideas of those 15 capitalized terms do appear. And therefore he could see we need to know the tonality of the capitalized terms in order to be able at all to read the Bible in its structure. And that was a big step. That was a step, so to say, away from what we call concept building to tonality building, so that we read tonality-wise a text and no more word-wise a text. And that led further, naturally, because if you read a text tone-wise, you have to feel out the subject of the text. So you have to feel out, say, what really is the main subject when you read perhaps a whole chapter in the Bible or two chapters in the Bible, sometimes even more than that, and to find out what is the central subject around which the Bible writers write. And therefore, we had to undergo a change in reading and interpreting the Bible, and afterwards the textbook. Namely, to read a text not word-wise, but subject-wise. Whatever that means, I cannot explain in a few minutes. We have taken many summer schools in order to exercise this, how to read a text. Like last week, we did take the epistles, or in earlier summer schools, we did take prayer and the atonement and Eucharist and marriage and the chapters in the textbook, just for the one and only purpose to show how to read the text subject-wise, theme-wise, and not according to single words or single sentences. And that naturally means that the student who has only a concept of the capitalized term cannot read the Bible and cannot read a consecutive text in the textbook. He can only read then the single statements wherein a capitalized term occurs. So this was a terrific challenge at that time, and not many took up that challenge. Most just stayed with the word sense of it, with the letter sense of it, and could never really acquaint themselves in reading the text subject-wise. This means that we can listen to the tone. Instead of reading with our eyes the text, we read, that's true, we read the text with our eyes, but what happens is that we transform it at once into a consciousness of a tonality of subjects. We try to hear the subject tone-wise. So it is much more a hearing process, a listening process, than a reading process. And only in that way, when one is cultured in it, one finds a ways how to decode a text of the Bible and the textbook. So he spent years on this decoding, the Bible, and naturally it was a great support for him to see that the Bible was telling the same fundamental system, but telling that system for the purpose of that age, adapted to that age, adapted to the circumstances of that age, adapted to the language of that age. So if that could have been decoded and say, well, these were only the symbols through which something fundamental was being taught, and if I go to those fundamental, to the deep structure of the Bible, I see that the deep structure of the Bible is the same structure as the deep structure of the textbook. And so Bible and textbook were wedded into one fundamental principle with its own categories. Quite terrific when you think about that. Most students have then taken this not really the way he fundamentally was driving at, but they have just taken the Bible as a nice interpretation through metaphysical ideas and left it at that, and just felt that you can translate really biblical symbols into metaphysical ideas and left it at that. Whereas this is only the first step in decoding the Bible. The main aim was really to find that the Bible and the textbook had that same fundamental deep structure that was combining those two books. With what purpose? With what purpose? That if we find the deep structure, then I say something, I will be accused of it over years and years, then somehow that deep structure becomes the most important. But no more the symbolization in the Bible and the symbolization in the textbook. Those two books serve, so to say, as a means to find the deep structure of being. And actually, when we look at it, John Dolly gave that deep structure of being itself on that very chart, which contains, if we can read that chart properly, contains the Bible, contains the textbook, contains the world. It contains the oneness of being, the one being. And this is a development that naturally one has to undergo, each one for himself. But also, naturally, John Dolly was constantly thinking also about the consecutive text of the textbook, not only on the Bible. And so he gave, as his last big presentation in London, an interpretation of the chapter Christian Science Practice, and showed there now the consecutive text in its layout, showing that that chapter has a structure, that it has a layout, that it is following the fundamental structure of the seven and the four, and the four, so that here he was beginning to decode really the textbook. He had done that earlier already with some parts of the textbook. Even before the war, I remember that I saw his textbook where I had already laid out the chapter on prayer in the sevenfold development. Also the chapter on atonement and Eucharist was more or less already laid out in seven big subjects. and the first part of Science of Being also, even before the war. But somehow he had to leave it at that time because he had first to find out those three main categories and see the implications of these three main categories, if they are built together into a system, if they are related to each other, and therefore brought out the matrix and the chart and things like that. And then went to the Bible, hoping really that he would then take up the textbook. The summer school that he intended to give in 1950 would have been about the chapter Science of Being, but he passed on before that point, and so he had to leave, really, the decoding of the textbook to the next generation. In doing that, what he did, he also had to introduce a new way of text interpretation. And that is not seen so much by all the students, but he actually introduced a new way of interpreting the text according to tonality of the subjects. So he was always reading the Bible first in listening to the tonality according to his frame of reference, which was the 15 root notions. Can you see, in building up and consciously culturing within ourselves quite a different consciousness, namely a consciousness that was not thinking along isolated statements, but along the categories of being, if we have that cultured sense that we only respond really to those 15 root notions, whatever we hear and read, within us only the 15 root notions respond, then that is the sounding board or the sieve through which all that text is being sieved through, and what comes out is the structure, the system of it. So all the other things fall by the wayside, that is not important, but that which is important comes out as a structure. So he gave a new way of text interpretation without really teaching it in detail. He just indicated it, and I think in his whole writing there is, I think, only one paragraph where he shows how he interprets the Bible. And that naturally also led to the use of a new terminology, a new method of showing the results of interpretation, namely the method of epitomizing a text. That was his further great contribution.